This is the What About You podcast, and I'm here today with Kenitha Grooms Williams. Would you start with a prayer?
Sure. On this day, we just thank God for gathering us together. I thank God that He has allowed me to find Max, and so that we can fellowship together, learn about one another, so that we can be a blessing to others through our lives and through our service. I thank God that what we are about to encounter, that it will be productive, and that it will give people an opportunity to learn and to grow with one another and pass on what they've learned to others in their lives. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Kenitha, what type of work do you do?
So I am currently the executive director of Lantern Light. We are a nonprofit in New Orleans that was established back in 2005 by the Congregation of Presentation Sisters.
When in 2005?
So actually, the weekend of August the 29th, which is probably very familiar to mm-hmm. a lot of New Orleanians, Sister Vera, who was our former director, she was actually in New Orleans working at St. Joseph Church. And three other nuns were to join her at that time to begin the ministry. Unfortunately, there were other plans happening in the city. They had to evacuate, but they found themselves in Alabama. And several months later, they went back to New Orleans, put a trailer in the parking lot of the church, and just began helping people in the best way that they knew how. And then in 2007, the Rebuild Center, which is the place where our organization is housed, was built. We formed that collaboration with St. Joseph Church, with the Harry Thompson Center, and then in 2012, DePaul USA joined us. And so that is where we provide services for people that are unhoused and underserved in the greater New Orleans area.
What's the Harry Thompson Center do?
So the Harry Thompson Center.
Thompson.
And they're the Harry Thompson Center because they actually had their own building prior to Hurricane Katrina. They also provide services for people that are unhoused. Mainly what they do is they coordinate showers. So when people come to the Rebuild Center, which is where we're all located, they can take a shower, they can use the phone. The Harry Thompson Center also has charging stations, so if they have a cell phone, they can have their phones charged. They provide toiletry items. And then they also help to navigate people into housing through their collaboration with Unity.
Unity?
Yes, and Unity is the organization that really coordinates all of the housing programs in the city. They get most of the funds that come through the federal government to handle all those housing programs.
What percentage of the unhoused want to stay in an unhoused situation, would you say?
So I couldn't really give you a percentage, but I could say that every person is unique. Every situation is different. There are so many reasons people fall into unhoused, you know, into homelessness. I would say there is a small percentage of individuals who are actually choosing to be on the street. And I wouldn't say that they're actually choosing to do that, but because of mental health issues, that would be the reason why they have challenges in maintaining housing. Because many of them do get housed, but it's unfortunate because of their mental health issues or addictions, they have issues maintaining housing. And so they find themselves back on the streets oftentimes.
So I don't know a lot about the unhoused, but my understanding of it, and it could be wrong, so please correct me, is that maybe there's different categories. So one category and the easiest to deal with would be people who just can't make ends meet at a time, and they find themselves unhoused for some especially short-term
yes.
period of time. And then, so the resources of nonprofits, you know, like yourselves, can really help a person like that the easiest for everybody, right?
Well, I'm going to say they might be the most challenging.
Huh?
And the reason why I say that is because many of the housing programs, they are looking to house those that are chronically homeless. So if you are going through the Unity program here in the city, you have to be chronically homeless for at least 12 months. and you have to have a mental diagnosis. So for the average person who falls on their luck, loses their job, might run into a health issue that causes them to maybe fall back on their paying their rent, they won't fit that category. And a lot of times those individuals, they might not come to our organization for services. And the reason why I say that is because, one, they may not know who we are. They're not used to navigating in that environment. Two, they might not feel comfortable coming to an organization like ours because they're not used to navigating into that environment. So many times those people, they might do what you call couch surfing. Mm-hmm. They might start living with family and friends and kind of going from place to place, especially if it's hard for them to get back on their feet within a month or so.
And I guess that those people will be hard for nonprofits to sift out. You know, if you just had a program, say, where people could come and say, I'm about to be unhoused,
right,
or it could be where a situation where people could maybe try to take advantage of that,
yes,
just for financial reasons. Whereas if someone is chronically unhoused, it's obvious they're not trying to take it. They're obviously in a dire situation, right?
Yes. And most of the times, if they have fallen into homelessness and been out on the street, per se, for several months, they have gone to a shelter. They have come to our organization to get meals, to get other services. And so they know where to go and they know who to reach out to get those resources. So for them, it might be a little easier. However, nothing is easy when I find myself on the streets for 12 months or when I have an addiction or when I have a mental health issue and I'm on the street and I can't take my medication on a regular basis. Or if I'm on the street and someone steals my medication, then it's hard for me to just maintain life on a regular basis. So that's where the challenge comes in. And that's where you have difficulty in just putting everyone in one box of being homeless.
So my perception just from life, that the way I understand it with homeless or unhoused, is a large percentage of them have mental health issues and or substance abuse issues. And much of the time that was triggered by traumatic events as a child. Does that ring true to you?
Well, in some instances, they do. But just to say for the people that you may not see on the corner, you may not see them at our center, a lot of those people are hidden. So if I don't have a mental health issue or if I don't have a substance abuse issue, I may not be in those places, but I might be in an abandoned building. I might be in my car sleeping, or I might, just as I mentioned before, I might be at a friend's house or I might be at a friend's house. But for those people who are facing those issues of mental health and substance abuse, they can go to places and they can get some assistance. But at the same time, if I'm on the street, it may take me a certain amount of time to navigate to the resources that are there waiting for me. And if I have a substance abuse issue, I may decide to go to treatment. But once I leave treatment, I'm going back into that same environment. So then when I go back into that same environment, that may cause triggers that may cause me to go back into that addiction. And so it's important that we find resources for those people to go into treatment and then encourage them to go into long-term treatment. Because yes, 30 days, 60 days, that would get me clean. I can detox, but what's going to happen when I go back into that same environment, when I'm met with my same friends, unfortunately, mm-hmm, who might supply me mm-hmm the drugs or the alcohol, so then I'm then back into that addiction, but 6 months of treatment, mm-hmm, 12 months of treatment, and there are places like Bridge House, Grace House, Salvation Army, Odyssey House that do offer that long-term treatment here in New Orleans that can actually help them to get into housing once they've completed that treatment, because then they're in a better place mentally. And then they wouldn't go back into that same environment, and then they might be able to maintain the housing.
It seems like a big key to change is that they would have to change the people that they associate themselves with, which is difficult, yes. But they would have to cut out people in their lives that are bringing them down. And that's hard to do, especially with somebody that you've known your whole life, you're related to, who's done good things for you, mm-hmm. and you love. But if you still associate with them and they're doing the substance abuse or any kind of other negative thing that's going to lead to the situation again, it's going to drag you right back into the rut that you were in before.
Right, right. Yeah, definitely. And then for people that are mentally ill who wouldn't necessarily have a control on medication management, it's important for them to then get involved with a case manager, with an organization who would provide them that community support daily to make sure they're on a medication regimen, to make sure they're following the steps, going to see a counselor or a psychiatrist or a social worker on a regular basis, so that they too can have some type of stability in their lives to maintain that. And then another population that a lot of people don't think of are young people. We do have Covenant House here in New Orleans, but there are a lot of young people who age out of foster care.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do that, they don't have the resources. Once they're 18 and they're a ward of the state, nobody is really fighting for them to get housing, to connect them to resources. And so many of those people, they're just out on the street. And if I've been going from a foster care place, if I haven't been adopted and I'm going all my life, what's going to happen when I turn 18? Unfortunately, I'm going to have that same housing situation because I never had stability in my life. And so it's hard for those people to gain some stability as well. But Covenant House, they try and do a good job of helping those individuals. But at the same time, they only help individuals, I think, until up about maybe 22 or 23 years of age.
There seems to be another disconnect between, there's a lot of people who are couples who would like to have kids, and maybe they're not able to have kids, or they'd like to adopt. But the story I hear from people is you spend tens of thousands of dollars to try to adopt, and it takes years. And then a lot of times you can't even get a kid to adopt. And then we also have this huge number of kids who are in the foster system. Why isn't the whole process streamlined? Why wouldn't it be where it would be free to prospective parents who are willing to do that, and a quick process to say, okay, these are people that are of sound mind, they're not substance abusers, there's no history of them physically or sexually abusing anybody, they want to be parents, you're approved, and let's make this happen quickly for people.
Yeah, I wish I knew the answer to that, but there are different barriers that I would say as to why there is a disconnect. But let's also think about this too. A lot of people, when they want to adopt, they do have a choice. They may not always want to adopt a 13-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes they might want to adopt a child, an infant, right after it's born. And so what do you do for the 13-year-old? You
know, yeah.
What do you do for the 6-year-old that unfortunately may have had some behavioral issues because they were going from home to home? Unfortunately, they're not always a likely candidate for people who are seeking adoption.
I wonder if there could be a program like, sort of like Big Brothers Big Sisters, where you'd get to know the kid who, you know, is not an infant, an older kid that is in, and mentor them and just say, let's just kind of see, I may be able to adopt. That way, because I think a lot of people, in addition to just wanting to have a baby that's an infant, they would be scared, If I'm going to bring somebody into my house that's going to hurt me or my spouse or my kids or rob me, or any, they don't know. And so if there was a way to break down that fear where it'd say, no, it's safe and good. And this person, you know, that I bring in, because a lot of times the perception is that these children that are in the foster system, they've had traumatic things happen to them maybe at some points. And so they have a lot of hurt. They might bring that hurt onto the people who are their caregivers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe organizations like Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Boys Town, Girls Town, the YMCA, and other organizations that work with the youth, and even schools. I think there are opportunities. I think people just need to seek those opportunities for mentorship. Because, say, for instance, just you volunteering at a school, I'm sure somewhere in that school, there's a student that's in the foster care system. Mm-hmm. So they don't necessarily have to be highlighted. But just in adults participating in those types of programs, I think is a benefit all around.
So maybe if someone or a couple, they're interested in adopting and they're open to someone, a person who's older, but they have concerns, get in contact Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Boys Town, Girls Town, and see what the options are where they could get to know somebody and just mentor a person and see where it goes from there.
Correct. I think that would be a great idea. Not only that, especially if they've never had children, that would be an opportunity for them to engage with children of all ages, mm-hmm. learn likes and dislikes, learn about children's behaviors and all those things without actually having a child in the home. And then that might also help them in deciding. Well, I think we might best, our needs might be best fit if we worked with, or if we started opening up our house to be a foster care family for children, say for instance, 1 through 6, or it seems like we have good vibes with teenagers. Just the opportunity to do that. And not only that, I'm sure there are tons of church groups out there where they could engage with children right in their own churches and have a mentorship opportunities.
I think people need the invitation sometimes, but if you're listening, and including myself, you need to go and just make the phone call to Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Boys Town, Lantern Light, other places and say, this is what I'm interested in. How do I do that? How do I help? Or how can I learn more? And then you have to go there and meet somebody, just talk to somebody. And you need to take the action steps instead of just thinking about it and wanting God to come knock on your door and put it on your door, because God's not going to do that. God can make a lot of things happen, but you have to actually take the steps to do them.
Right. And I think not to just say God, because I mm-hmm. am a faith believer, I'm a Christian, but I think just people of all faiths
sure.
who believe that they have a higher power that they answer
to. Yeah.
I believe that when you seek, you will find.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you seek in life to help others and you want to be a blessing to others, then I believe your higher power through your meditation time
mm-hmm.
that it will come to you, or just in life, you will recognize there are certain groups of people that I relate to or that I communicate with better. And I believe in just listening, you will know which group, which population he's calling you to, or if she's calling to you, if that's what you refer to your higher power as. And that's the beginning.
So let me shift gears to your organization is called Lantern Light.
Yes.
And what's the address?
So we're located at 1803 Gravier Street. We're right behind St. Joseph Catholic Church. It's that big brown church on Tulane Avenue, right near UNC Hospital.
And what's the phone number?
So individuals can reach us at 504-273-5573. My extension is 115. We also have a social worker. Her extension is 114.
Do you have a website?
Yes, we do. It's lanternlight.org. We're on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and X.
Do people have an opportunity to volunteer?
Yes, they do. So we have our largest volunteer opportunities with our meals program. So Monday through Friday, we serve a morning snack from 9 to 9:30. We also serve lunch from 1 to 1:30. And then we also have a food bake. So we have individuals, families, church groups, individuals in civic organizations and clubs throughout the city who volunteer with us. Some of them bring food for the morning snack or the lunch, and some of them just help come to serve them. We have over 100 volunteers that work with us annually. We even have schools. We've had Cabrini to come and provide meals and actually help to serve. We've even had the young ladies several years. They come, they make crosses, and they would come and pass out the crosses and just engage with some of the guests. So there are definitely opportunities that come to serve. And for people that are interested in helping with the food bank, they can hold food drives and toiletry drives as well, because we give toiletry items to the individuals as well. And they can help come and pack the grocery bags as well and help to deliver them. During the pandemic, we started delivering to 3 different apartment complexes within a mile radius of our organization. And since then, we've continued that for people that have disabilities or who are elderly. We pass out groceries once a month on the first and third Friday of every month. And as long as you meet the qualifications of Second Harvest, we're a partner with Second Harvest, you can come throughout the Orleans Parish area, you can come and get groceries from us once a month.
Are there any volunteer opportunities on the weekend or after business hours by chance?
Well, if you're interested in helping with fundraisers, there could be opportunities for that as well. We just held our annual fish fry, actually this past Friday. So that's something that happens. It happens on a Friday, but this year we provided that fish plate up until 6 p.m. And then we have our annual gala, which happens on the first Friday in June, and that's an evening event. And then on MLK Day, we have an opportunity to volunteer. Usually people are off Monday in January, and people call that a day of service. And so actually this past MLK Day, we hosted a health fair where we had different healthcare agencies to come out, provide services for people that were unhoused and low income. And that gave people an opportunity, organizations to come and help with the health fair, and also to help to pass out the morning snack and the lunch.
Do people who come to volunteer who haven't volunteered like this before, do they give you feedback about how it affects them?
They do. And we often try and highlight those individuals in our newsletter. And some people, they just share how they've just been so touched about the compassion and the care that they see with our staff and with other volunteers that, you know, are in the center. And then they also have commented when they do serve the meals, how people say thank you, how people say they appreciate that they're there to volunteer and to provide meals for them. And they feel touched by that.
Well, some people say, when you give, you get, right?
That's so right. When
you're helping other people, you don't understand exactly how it works, but it winds up helping you and bringing you joy and purpose in life.
That's right.
A lot of times I find when I'm least happy is when I'm most focused on myself, and I'm most joyous when I'm focused on trying to help other people.
Right, exactly. And that's what I tell people. Sometimes you don't realize how just a smile might comfort someone. They may have been having a bad day, but when they see you, greet them, recognizing them, letting them know that I see you as a human, I see you as a person. And some of the schools actually, they may make signs for us, little cards that they might put into lunch bags. I know Cabrini, they're one school too. In the past, they put together care packages. They might put a little smile or a little note in the bag just to let people know how much they appreciate them and care about them. Someone actually out there is concerned, or said a prayer for them today. And you wouldn't believe how people keep those cards, people keep those crosses. They'll come to the center and say, are those girls here? Are they still handing out those crosses? And many of them, they'll show it to them when they come to the center, how important that is to them.
And one theme in my life has been, so I'm a Christian, but then what does it mean to be a Christian?
Right.
And so I've been thinking where Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And the way that Jesus demonstrated in the Gospels was going to what was considered the least among us, the people that were suffering, and making fellowship with them, if nothing else, just being with them. So as a follower of Christ, you're basically supposed to do that sort of thing. And if Jesus were back on earth as a human here again, this is the kind of thing that Jesus would be doing, among many things, though, is volunteering at Lantern Light and helping out, but just also just spending time and being with people who are unhoused or people who are down on their luck in some way. It's not only just helping them or even helping yourself, but a lot of times people who have either problems or disabilities or have had great suffering, they also have extraordinary areas of themselves that you can learn from and enjoy and benefit. Many times, if you've suffered a lot, then your spirit is so much stronger than the average person you'll meet on the street. And some people, you'll just be blown away. This is an unhoused person, but I can just feel the holiness. I can feel the strong spirit from this person or this other person. I can just tell this is just an extraordinarily smart person here, learning, you know, having a conversation with her. In many other examples, it's not like you're giving and they're taking. It's something that's going to bring you joy, bring them joy, bring joy to the world, rather than just going to your church service once or twice a week and not putting your faith into action. No matter what your faith is, Christian or non-Christian, or even if you're an agnostic or an atheist, it's, I think we all agree with the whole idea of doing unto others as we would have them do unto ourselves. And so regardless of whatever your spiritual or lack of spiritual belief is, it's going to bring you so much, and it's going to bring others so much in the world so much. And we say we want to make the world a better place. And so getting off our couch, not staring at our phone, and spending an hour and just seeing one time, seeing what it's like, that might just be the trick. And so, and I'm not trying to lecture or preach to other people. I'm also talking to myself.
I think what you were talking about is resilience. There are so many people out there that are resilient. And I firmly believe that God put us together here for a reason, for us to learn from one another. And it doesn't matter our background, it doesn't matter our ethnicity, it doesn't matter our race or our religion or our economic status, we can all learn something from one another. And I think that's what you were touching on.
Yes.
And just remembering last week during prayer time, deeds, not words.
Yes.
You know, we must remember. Yes, many of us, we can quote the Bible back and forth, or we can read the Quran and we can relate that to anyone, but deeds, not words, is really what counts. It's that faith in action that what's count. It's going to make this world a better place if we all learn how to live with one another and work with one another. And that's what makes the world go round. And I really believe that that's what God has called us to do.
And that's the example God set is Jesus. He wasn't just a rabbi who taught by preaching. He did do that. But so much of it was actions of healing. Yes, we can't maybe heal somebody literally, but of just being with somebody who other people wouldn't touch, a tax collector, a person with leprosy, a person that's a prostitute, or the unseen, or the people that are the untouchables, just making fellowship with them was a big part of Jesus's message. So if we can try that out, we are closer to calling ourselves true Christians for those of us that are Christians.
Exactly. Working where I work, it keeps me humble. Because when I think about some of the challenges I might have in life, and I go to work and I meet someone who's living on the street, a mother who is coming to get a meal with two children, knowing she's going to go back to her car, what do I have to complain about?
Yeah. So you see your glass more half empty, yes. I'm sorry, more half full, yes. And other people that are like you that have difficulties, you start to see a lot of glasses half full instead of half empty, because you see other this lady who's going back to her car, how empty her glass actually is.
Right. And not only that, just the fact that I have an opportunity to share a meal with her.
Maybe even just not from the organized volunteer activities, but you get to know a person and you say, you know what, I can bring this person a few pair of socks. I can bring this person a thing from Walmart of 40 bottles of water, and it's nothing for me. It's $4, but it's going to really touch this person's heart and help them out a little bit for a few days.
Right. Or when I'm walking through the city and I encounter a guest, because that's what we call the people that come to the center. We call them our guests. They might see me and they'll say, "Hi, Miss Williams, how are you?" And it's funny because sometimes I'm with my family and they'll say, "Mom, you know everybody, you know these people, you know." But I think of it as a blessing because I can know people from the outhouse to the White House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can get along with any and everyone, and I feel blessed by that because that's how I see God. He walked the streets. He talked to everyone. He got along with everyone. And I think that that's so important, and that's what we need to do.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I think I've just had a wonderful time. Hopefully other people, the people I've listened to have enjoyed it as well.
Yes, and I thank you for the opportunity to share with your listeners about what Lantern Light does and how we have engaged with the people here. The Presentation Sisters, they're not just here in New Orleans, they're all over the world. But through their founder, Nan Onego, who keeps the light burning, and that's kind of what she did. She went from town to town at night, educating children and seeking to see who she could serve. Thus came our name, Lantern Light. And so that's what we're doing. We're not out in the nighttime, but we're keeping the light burning.
Wonderful.
And we're letting our light shine here in New Orleans.
And giving people the opportunity to help do that for others as well. If they call 504-273-5573. If you like, you can call the extension 115 for Ms. Kenitha or extension 114.
Yes, for our social worker, Ms. Monique.
For Ms. Monique, her social worker. Maybe you can't help out, you know, with Lantern Light because maybe you're not available during those days, but you might be able to schedule something with your organization, a particular day where everybody can come and participate. Or Ms. Kenitha, I'm sure, would be happy to talk to you about organizations that are available on the weekend where you could do the similar kind of a thing, or after hours or nothing else, just have a little conversation, right?
Yes. And even a donation.
And a donation would be
and
great.
And even a donation to Lantern Light.
Donation to Lantern Light, just to help out with what they're doing. If you're not able to go down there, then you're making it possible for everybody.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Kenitha.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Mine too.